Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study of Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, titled, God's Good Work in You. This is part 2 of 2.
I have to move quickly. I don't want to keep you here all day, but this is just something that's crazy going on. A bunch of novices on the YouTube and TBN and all this, they don't know what they're doing. Jesus is not God the Father. Say that with me if you believe it. Jesus is not God the Father. There's a growing, I guess, group of nincompoops running around telling everybody that Jesus and God the Father are the same. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He didn't say they're the same. How many of you know the difference? Being one, you and your wife, you and your spouse are supposed to be one flesh, but you're not the same. Amen. You still have to have your own social security card for the New World Order, amen? Jesus said, I and my Father are one, but Jesus is called the Lord in this text. Now look at it again. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that big three-letter word right in the middle there. And. That means they're not the same. There's God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all remember whenever Jesus was baptized? He was in the water. A voice from heaven spoke. And then a dove came and landed on him representing the Spirit. These nuts seem to be saying that Jesus is a ventriloquist. He's standing in the water, throwing his voice, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him. What? I didn't say that. Jesus isn't a ventriloquist. The Father is in heaven, speaking of the Son who is on earth. And then the Spirit descending. Now that's the Trinity. You can't explain it. And the people who fall into this nonsense think they can explain God. I got news for you. If your God is so small that you and your little pea brain can explain Him, you got the wrong God. Amen. Stop with the idea that God can be explained in words. All we do is do our best to kind of put our thumb on it. But we don't understand God. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Ghost is God. But there are not three gods. There is one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Not the same. One. Now, some people skip right over that verse, and it's evident because later on then they teach against it. That's why we teach every verse. Amen? Look at just real quick, run around a few references. In Matthew 12:29 says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen? Amen? Then 1 Corinthians 8:6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. And that seems to be a contradiction. Because he said, wait a minute, there's one God that's the Father. Then he says there's one Lord, Jesus Christ. But we just read back here, this says the Lord our God is one Lord. How does that make sense? Trinity.
Amen.
That's it. That's why we have a doctrine called the Trinity. 2 Samuel 22:32 says, for who is God save the Lord? You see, if you go back here and you try to make God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ the same, it doesn't make sense. But then you look at it, it appears like they're, one is God and the other is the Lord. But then the Bible says, God is the Lord. And the Lord is God. And Jesus is the Lord. Get that? 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Amen?
Amen?
And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And there you have the great separation between biblical Christianity and false religions. They won't call Him Lord in the sense of deity. They will not call Him God. That's what false religions come down to. And that is how the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. How? It's not just this touchy-feely thing of, you know what, that Stephen is such a sweet boy. I think he's a Christian. I think Stephen's a Christian because he's just so sweet. Then they get to know him and they're like, I don't even think he's saved.
Right.
That's what people do. You know what? It's not based on how you feel. That's not what the Bible's talking about with discernment. Discernment is, I believe Stephen is saved because he professes to have repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He has professed that he's trusting in the fact that Christ died for his sins, was buried and rose again and conquered sin and death. And he does bear testimony to that by the way he lives his life. But not always. He's human. I'm not picking on him. That's true about everybody in this room. You've had your moments. There have been times where if we had a camera on you, we'd think, wow, we don't even think they're saved. You see? It's not based on feelings. Do you believe that Jesus is the Lord? Is that your profession? Meaning, He's God who came and died for your sins.
Amen.
That's what Christians are. It is this common faith that all true Christian fellowship is based on. You can call yourself a Christian all you want, but if you don't believe that Jesus is the Lord, there's no fellowship. But this is what is enabling us to love and pray for one another despite differences. We can have differences. I mean, I baptized a young man wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers shirt. How could you do that, preacher? Hey, you laugh about that. There's some guys that get really touchy. And if it had been a Michigan shirt, I'm not sure. But we can have our differences on things that aren't about Jesus and the gospel. We can have our differences. There are some that I won't get specific, but we had fellowship yesterday with some folks that we differ on and wouldn't be able to really have a local church relationship with. But in the context of outside of my local church, not in my home, trying to force it down, you know, I can fellowship with people who have doctrinal differences with me. But when we get together here, we do have some very important doctrinal emphasis that we're going to stick to.
Amen.
And if someone comes in and doesn't agree with all that, as long as they don't start trouble, they're welcome. As long as they are a believer in the gospel, we can have fellowship.
Amen.
But when they start trying to change us, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen.
Amen.
I mean, we've come to these conclusions biblically over a long period of study. And we're not going to change the. We're not ever going to go to anything but a King James Bible.
Amen.
The rest are garbage.
Amen.
And we love people enough to tell them the truth. We're teaching people about that. We're never going to preach a gospel that adds works.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And we're not going to pretend that repentance is a work because it's not.
Amen.
So therefore, we continue to preach repentance.
Amen.
Amen. We're never going to deny the dispensations.
Amen.
We're never going to deny the preacher of rapture.
Amen.
We're never going to deny Israel.
Amen.
We're never going to try to replace Israel with the church.
Amen.
Those are things that we're never going to change on, so get over it.
Amen.
I get the emails and everything all the time. It ain't going to happen. Give up.
Amen.
That's why Paul can then say, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Even though he had to deal with things in every one of the churches he went in, there were doctrinal issues, there were behavioral issues, but he knew that because of the gospel, he could still thank God.
Amen.
I thank God for all the believers that exist today. Thank God for them.
Amen.
Even the crazies. How many of you have a crazy guy? At least one crazy guy, and you might be it. Crazy guy in your family. Everybody got a crazy guy? Yeah. Yeah. I got news for you. We can pretty much just wrap you all up and call you crazy. That's why you're here. Amen? A bunch of crazy people. That's how the world looks at you. Amen? Yeah. I don't care how crazy you are. I thank God for you. And when I pray for you, I can pray with joy in my heart because I believe you're saved. You're one of the family. You're going to heaven. And to believe Jesus is the Lord is to believe that gospel.
Amen.
For our fellowship, verse 5 says, read it with me. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. Look at that. The fellowship is based in that gospel. That's why we don't join with the ministerial association here locally. Because a bunch of those preachers don't even believe the gospel. Mm-hmm. We don't get into the ecumenical movements. Because they don't all believe the gospel. We don't hate them. We just don't have fellowship with people unless it's based in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the gospel? Sadly, I can go through, not hopefully in this room, but I can go out among Christians, professing Christians, ask them that question, and they give wrong answers. The gospel is not being a church member. It's not being baptized. It's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning of verse 3, it says, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's it. We call on you to repent of what? Of anything you believe that contradicts that.
Amen.
We call on you to repent of the fact that you are a sinner. Don't look at your neighbor.
Amen.
You are a sinner who caused Jesus to have to die on the cross.
Amen.
He died on the cross for our sins. You have to look in the mirror and say, Jesus died for my sins. If you won't do that, you can't be saved.
Amen.
And that will mean you'll be sorry for the fact that you're a sinner. You'll be sorry for the sins you've committed. It's a whole attitude change. Repenting toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in His work to save you. No longer your works. Someone asks you, why do you believe you're saved? You won't even mention church membership or baptism or good works or whatever. You're going to say, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He did all the work. I repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. His work is what saved me. I received it. That's all I did. You can be saved this morning if you're not. By receiving that.
Amen.
If you'll do it. And because of your faith in that gospel, we have this assurance. Verse 6, read that with me. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The very moment you were saved, and if you're not saved, this will happen the very moment you're saved. The very moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit of God came into you. You are what's called regenerated. It's the new birth. Born again. You now have the Spirit of God in you. You still have your old flesh. That flesh is still there. But now you have the Spirit of God, and all you have to do is submit to the Spirit of God and not to your spirit. And you will live a Christ-like life. And every time you are seen not living a Christ-like life, it will be because you have submitted to your own flesh and not to the Spirit of God in you. But before you're saved, you're hopeless.
Amen.
Even your good deeds are done for selfish reasons.
Amen.
You've got some motive behind what you're doing when you do good deeds. But when you're saved, things change. And if you do good deeds for the right reason, you're doing it for the glory of God, not for the glory of self. It's not about you having your name in lights. It's about lifting up the name of Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? So we can be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's an old saying. How many of you heard this? Once saved,
always.
Yeah, but sadly, too many people will take that statement and then use it as an excuse to no longer really care about anything. I got my name in the book. My name's in the book, so I'm done. Once saved, always saved, but also once saved, still a work in progress.
Amen.
Not in order to be saved, but because you are saved. You now have the Spirit of God in you, and now it has begun.
Amen.
That's when it begins. It's not the end. And too many Christians act like being saved is the end. No, it's the beginning. That's when the Spirit of God comes in you and starts to work in you. Starts to make you what He wants to make you. And I'm going to warn you, you can make choices and rebel and go against God. You'll suffer the consequences. And if you keep on in that rebellion, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, God will kill you. He is your heavenly Father. And if you rebel against Him, He'll keep working. He'll keep wooing you. He'll keep convicting you. And if you keep on rebelling and rebelling, He'll just take you out of here and get you out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You say, that isn't my God, then you've got the wrong God.
Amen.
Go look it up. Study it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Read it. Study it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As a Christian, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and if you have lived your life still giving into your flesh, all those works you did are going to go up in smoke. And while on earth, if you will continue to persist in rebellion, God will just take you out. I've told folks, you cannot lose your salvation. You didn't win it to begin with. That's true. But you can lose everything else. You can lose reward and you can even lose your life. I think I wouldn't put a number on this, but you see all the heroin overdoses?
Mm-hmm.
Some of those people are Christians. And they maybe even through a tragic situation got hooked on opiates. And when they can't get their hands on the opiates anymore, they go to the street and get the heroin. And then they get something like that black tar stuff or just OD. Dead. Did they lose their salvation? No. They lost their life, forfeited reward, and were a terrible example to other people. Huh? Yeah, lost their testimony, destroyed their testimony. And let me tell you something. The Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. We can get all cocky and arrogant and say, well, I would never do that. You better watch out.
Yeah.
All it takes is for you to go through some bad things in your life and start compromising and making some bad choices.
Yeah.
Amen. How many of you know this? You have not arrived yet. You are a work in progress. Remember this? Ephesians 4:15, when we study Ephesians, but speaking the truth in love may grow up may grow up. See, as Christians, you're still growing up. I don't care if you've been saved for 40 years. If you haven't read the Word the way you ought to, you haven't been a witness the way you ought to, and you haven't gone to a good church like you ought to have, you're still a baby. You still got to grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And finally, I know a lot of you sit there just waiting for the preacher to say, finally. I know, some of you got a bad attitude. Some of you are like, oh, he's got to be coming to the close here soon. And he's got to be coming. I'm just going to stall just for you. We are assured that God will finish the work. Which might mean He takes you out. Because He's done with you. If you won't cooperate, He's got to remove you. But for those of you who will serve the Lord for His glory and not your own, He's going to continue the work. You have to start by admitting you need work. You have to start by saying, you know what? I need some work. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's close with a hymn. In the end, we're going to have victory in Jesus. 496.
You say this, just remember, this is, we are assured that you have the victory if you say that. But not everybody lives in the victory. Think of that if you say
Thank you.
close our study with a word of prayer. Lord, dear God, thank you for the beauty privilege, the holy time we saw. We understand today the word of God from the fourth one. Your victory in the word of God. We commit our life, Lord. There will be a lot of problems in our life. But there is a victory.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We are engaging as we go forth outside from today's service, Lord. We understand you are loving us. When we are obeying your word of God, we are so much loving you, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful sacrifice. We bless you. In Jesus' name, Lord, I bless everybody. I ask in His name. Amen.